hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. We're going to be looking back at some of the things that happened last year, which is now in the rearview mirror.
And, that's right.
You know, you can make a whole lot better predictions when it's already happened. Our mayor, Shane McFarland, is with us this morning. Are you ready for Friday?
Oh, for the snow. Snowmageddon?
Yeah, the snowmageddon.
Yeah, well, I can say this.
You have a four-wheel drive vehicle.
I do, yeah. I enjoy, Ashley can tell you, I don't like sitting around. So, you know, like the holiday break is tough on me because I've got sort of the same routine. I wake up early, go to my home office, work, and then I am out the door. So snow days are even tougher on me because I like getting out and driving around, checking on things. So I'm, yes, thank God I have a four-wheel drive. But our team, you know, say, am I ready? I don't know if we're ever ready, but our team is ready. Raymond Hillis and his street department team have, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, they had already brined some of the streets. They are on their game to make sure Murfreesboro is in good shape.
And you have added a lot to the equipment that they have.
We have. The council has really listened to what the street department, the city manager have to say when those types of requests come through. We replenished, I think it was two Thursday or three Thursday nights ago, we bought and we had already replenished, but in anticipation, our supplies, we've replenished salt, brine, all those things. So it's like insurance. You don't need insurance until you need insurance, and you don't need salt and the brining material until you need it. And so our team and our management at City Hall have said, look, we're going to stay on top of it. So we're going to be ready.
For people who just moved here, and last year we had right almost 10,000 people move into Rutherford County, 9,000 something.
Yeah.
And so they're probably thinking, what in the world? The weather has followed me here from wherever I came from.
Yes.
This would be more normal if you go back several years. You may be too young to remember
no.
this.
No. Well, you know, I'm from Monteagle. So,
oh, you really got
so,
it.
So, yeah, typically up on the Cumberland Plateau, we get the brunt of it before anyone else does. So, yeah, I mean, I saw this thing, Bart, and I've met so many people from California that have moved here and, you know, good people. I've met different friends. But I laugh, you know, I saw this meme on one of the social media platforms. It was like, hey, we want to welcome all of our friends from California who've moved here, and to better help you navigate the state of Tennessee, we want to give you this map, and then you click on it and the map is the state of Kentucky.
I saw that. That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, but we'll be ready.
And it's not untypical for a regular winter in Tennessee.
No.
It's been milder for the past.
Last year we had a couple of events where the roads, we had one big event last year, you know, that went on for like 3 or 4 days that mm-hmm. the roads got pretty rough. The year before we had one. So I'm hoping, you know, our team is on it. The part that I just hate is, and being in construction, I explain this to people, you know, the salt is so potent now that, you know, like I'll go buy salt and salt my office, the sidewalks, just so people, but that salt eats into the concrete.
And
so
I did not know that.
Oh yeah. So you'll notice like the what happens, that salt, it melts the ice, but that salt also gets down into the concrete, and then the concrete refreezes. And then when it unfreezes, the pops of concrete pop off. So when you walk down sidewalks and you look, it looks like somebody scraped the tops off.
Yeah. I've noticed that.
Yeah. That's from salt.
What can you do to fix it? Do you have to just take it up and start over?
There's not a dang thing you can do to fix it. I mean, it doesn't hurt the structural integrity of the concrete. It just does. Like my driveway, you know, really where it is, your cars, you know, when your car accumulates the snow that's on on it, and then, you know, you pull in your driveway or your garage and that all falls off, well, all that salt falls off on your driveway, and then that's what where these spots on your driveway come. So, yeah, that, there's some unintended consequences with salting. And that's so that's, Bart, one of the reasons why we end up after these snow events, we end up with so many potholes that are on our road.
I thought when we have more than I remembered in the past.
Yeah, that's why, because the materials that are put on the roads and the ice freezes, it melts, it gets down into the asphalt, it pops, and you voila, you end up having potholes.
So,
learn something new today from the mayor / science guy.
Just tune in, and Mr. Science will be with
us. That's right.
Throughout this entire hour. As you look back on the previous year, 2024 was a remarkable year for Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
We had a great year. You know, and I brought, I'm going to do tonight, Bart, I'm doing a, one of, I'm starting back my, I don't know if we'll do it in front of the fire because it's going to be so cold, but starting back my fireside chats, just a Facebook
Live. Do you
have
a fake fireplace up there?
I need to do that in my like background, but I'm just going to take 30 minutes to an hour just to answer questions and talk about 2024. But we had a lot of things happen, and I've got a whole list that if we want to, we can go through some of them. But there's a lot of things that we did that that I don't think necessarily people know about. For example, we purchased a new police firearms training facility that actually is in Grundy County.
That sounds interesting.
Well, so
and I remember something about that.
Yeah, you know, we have for years had a really tough time finding a place where our police officers can train and get their required training that they need on a yearly basis. Well, and think about this, you know, in Murfreesboro, or even for that matter in Rutherford County, who wants to have a gun range next to them? Very few people are. I mean, I remember when the gun range was out on Gum Road, you know, out or Big Springs, and we would get the complaints we would get. And heck, I'm in the city and I would get complaints about that. So we were able, through some different people who had reached out to us, there was a gun range in Grundy County that's, you know, right off the interstate. It's only about a 40-minute drive that we were able to purchase that. And so now we've got an updated facility that our people can use, that we have cooperative agreements that the county can use, that other counties and municipalities can use. So that was a...
Is there a place for them to stay once they get there?
No, I mean, it's not.
I mean, it's not, you're not going to stay a weekend or something.
Well, no, I mean, you're only, and plus you're only 40 minutes away. It's a, right. It's a quick drive, but you also, you know, we increased our public safety pay. That was a huge deal that we did back in, police officers we did in July, the firefighters we did in, it was in the August, September time range. Then we also did a pay increase for all of our employees that will be effective. It was effective January 1. We, of course, Trader Joe's is coming this year. So that facility,
looks like it's really getting close.
Yeah, that facility's almost finished. So that is something that we has taken some time. So those are a few things. Administration, public infrastructure. You know, our number one complaint and opportunity that we get to improve on is public infrastructure and roads. So we've got Tommy Bragg Drive. Of course, you heard his birthday is today. That drive was completed. We increased the number of linear miles that we had paved this year by 30% from last year. We installed a signal on Shores and Blackman Road, interchange lights and signals at Veterans and I-40. We've got the Butler Drive realignment for Buc-ee's that is underway. We've got coordinated with New Salem Highway, which is a state project. Old Fort, I-24, and 5 lanes are hopefully Highway 99, and what I'm hearing from a little birdie, is going to be done weather depending for striping a few things in the next month. Parks and Recreation, we have several different things. We completed our skate park, so that's done. We completed the 8 tennis courts at Old Fort, where we redid those to 6 tennis courts and 6 pickleball courts. The Veterans Park, the West Park is the park for the west side of town. That bed is out and will be open next week. And so we're hoping that we'll start West Park or Veterans Park in March. So the old Fort softball fields and the baseball field, that's a parking lot that's out to bid. So we got, Bart, it would take me 2 hours to go by. Murfreesboro Police Department, the real-time crime center started the LPR, license plate readers. That helped us with an event that we had a couple weeks ago. It's been extremely successful. We did an Internet Crimes Against Children. The National ICAC program is in place. That's something that MPD became an affiliate with that task force. So Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue, they moved into a new home. They moved into their new fire administration building that I think you probably pass by every day going.
They really needed that.
Yeah,
too.
Going home.
Now, how long will their old facility being used for anything?
No, Murfreesboro Water and Sewer is still the engineering department and the director. They're still in that building, but got some good news this morning that the Broad Street Development, they had a really good meeting yesterday, and all the things that they need to get accomplished are moving along. So
great. So the hotel is not going to slow them down.
No. Well, that was the big thing. They worked on a cross parking agreement where the city, if we have someone, and I think we will, have someone who will want to build a hotel, but clearly parking's an issue. So we've got that in place, or working on getting that in place, where they can use designated parking for the parking garages. We've got, so one of the things I'm really excited about, by addressing our police officer and firefighter pay, every year we would have somewhere between 7% to 10% in what we called slippage, where we would have jobs that we wouldn't hire. That number, a couple of days ago, they reported to us, that number's down less than 2%. So what we needed, the good news is we were successful on what we wanted to do. The bad news is that means that the money that we typically would sort of squirrel away every year because we didn't hire people, which is not a good thing. We're using that money now. And so I think that's exciting. We're getting people, back working. The airport won the Tennessee Airport of the Year. That is extremely exciting and shows that's heading in the next direction or the right direction. Water resources, we completed a new design for the $22 million full-scale biosolids drying project. And Bart, nobody likes to talk about this, but biosolids, that's a really nice way of saying that the sewage that we process, we now treat that and dry that. So that's important. Here's in the January snowstorm that we had last year with our street department, 1,000 tons of salt were applied to roadways and over 500 potholes were fixed. Crews were the recipients of the News 2 Give Back lunch. We also demolished existing structures at Northwest Broad Street and Town Creek. That was our people who were doing that.
It's amazing what the staff here in town has done.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big project.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And I'm,
Didn't you do the Robert Rose drive through the extension there?
Yes. Well, and that's what I was going to say, Bart. I mean, I think it's important for politicians to tell you the things that we do well and the things that we don't. And there are things that we mess up on. I mean, any large organization does, but we by far get more right than we do wrong. And that's the part where, people will say, and we're going to do a better job at this in 2024. We had a meeting on Monday with our City TV3 people, and we're going to do a better job updating people on transportation and road projects. But the idea that I had was, we're going to break that up. We're going to talk to you about road projects that we have control over. So in other words, city projects. And then we're going to talk to you about road projects that we don't have control over. And the thing that a lot of people really fuss about, to me and to the city, they fuss at us about roads that we don't have control over. Like Highway 99, we don't have control over that road. I mean, if I went out there with a shovel right now to try to work, I have no jurisdiction to be able to do that because it's a state road. So we're going to do a better job, and I think that will also be good for our local delegation, our state delegation, to keep them updated on where these projects are. So
We have a question here from a listener came in, said, tell us about the Sports Authority. You have told us in the past that there was no interest and nothing being talked about as far as bringing a sports team into the area. But we're hearing murmurs that there is still conversation, and that's with a sports authority.
Well, the Sports Authority, we're actually talking about that tomorrow, some of that tomorrow with in our workshop at the airport. And it's really more on advertising agreements. The Sports Authority, their overall role is looking at how we can best use our existing facilities that we have as a city to monetize that to save the taxpayers money. So, for example, you know, if I'm going to just use this as an example, if WGNS wanted to invest in the Barfield Park and WGNS wanted to advertise on a field, well, we want to have the mechanisms in place where WGNS can do that and the taxpayer can benefit from that. So WGNS benefits and the taxpayer benefits. But folks, again, you've heard me say this, and I'd say this just about everything. I mean, you know, I think it's imperative that we tell you the truth on things, and not through like some kind of jaded glass or like some kind of spin. I don't think there, if I was a betting man, and I had to bet on whether we will get a sports team here in Murfreesboro, I would take the bet that we're not. So, you know, and try to, we get blamed for like thinking that we're associated with this baseball team that wants to possibly come across the street. I 100% can tell you, and I think I speak for every council member, any team that's looking for us to bond $40 to $60 million in taxpayer dollars to build a minor league baseball team, or for that matter, any baseball team, we have too many needs that we have right now as opposed to that want.
So are those local people that are putting
that
together?
Yeah, I mean, you've got...
How do they think we have $40 or $60 million to put in it?
I don't. It's, you know, Bart, I'm not saying this towards any individual, but, you know, the same group that was, when this initially came out, and I was trying to be transparent to let everybody know that we had been contacted about it, the same group that came to our airport meeting to just stand up to say that they didn't want Canonsburg to be demolished, they didn't want Canonsburg to be moved, the leader of that group is now the leader who's advocating for the field to be built there.
Now, was there ever a thought of moving Canonsburg or getting rid of it?
No. I mean, I put in my thing that that was one of the things that the group had talked about, is possibly relocating Canonsburg, or possibly, it was never a discussion to demolish it, but Canonsburg was moved there, I think, in 74 or 76.
The 200th anniversary project.
So
for the state.
Yeah, it was relocated there 50 years ago. So,
well, it started there.
Yeah.
Several hundred years ago.
So it was relocated from there, relocated back there, and the discussion was, well, maybe there's a... But, I mean, here's the other part, Bart, and this is the honest truth. And, again, I'm not trying to make anyone mad, but, like, some of the people who are emailing me and just mad about Canonsburg, and I love having conversations. I'm like, hey, have you ever been to Canonsburg? And they're like, well, no, we've never been to Canonsburg, but we've seen pictures. I'm like, well, hey, let's start with, you need to go to Canonsburg. So, like, we just voted a month ago on a grant to do some roof replacements, to do some upgrades at Canonsburg, so... Canonsburg's not going anywhere. I mean, breaking news, you heard it from the mayor. The council has no desire to move or do anything with Canonsburg. But at the same time, Bart, you know, if you were to ask me, do I want to, I mean, so for example, if Major League Baseball came to Murfreesboro and said, we want to build a baseball stadium somewhere in Murfreesboro, I mean, there possibly could be a way to do that, but we don't have the ability like a Nashville or some of these other large cities to be able to use our bonding capacity to do that. We just, you know, we don't have $1.5 billion to do what Nashville's doing with the Titans Stadium. We can't do that. We would have to have some state partnership money, and, you know, the state is not there to do that for a minor league baseball team. So it's not going to happen. It's not a discussion, and I think if anybody's losing sleep over thinking that we're going to do that, it's a I'm not going to say it's a zero chance, because you don't ever want to say that will never happen. But it's as close to a zero as what I would anticipate.
Here's another question in, and this is something dear to your heart. I guess it's dear to your heart. They're asking for an update on the control tower that's proposed for the airport.
It's going through the...
And the government's giving that to us, right?
Well, are we
paying for?
They're not giving it to us, but they will end up funding between the federal and the state government. They fund about 90% of that. It's a great deal for the city of Murfreesboro. We end up having annual costs. I want to say if this is right, that the number that sticks in my mind is that it would cost us about $70,000 a year is what we would end up spending for having an operational control tower.
So we're paying 70, well, some percentage of the salary.
Yeah.
Of the operators.
We're paying a percentage of that, but the federal government and the state government are the ones who are really picking up the major tab on that. Which means ultimately you and I are still picking that up because it's our taxpayer dollars. But there is no argument that controlled airspace is safer than uncontrolled airspace. So that's something I really think. That's a three to four year process. The FAA last year, or it could have been year before last, it typically takes them, you know, in some cases a year or years to be able to approve an application for a control tower. The data that we had put together, the gentleman's name was Dave Byers with Quadriplex, and Chad Gerke and his team, they approved our application in, if I remember, it was like 3 months, saying, okay, yes, you guys 100% need a tower. So, and I would probably argue with you, Smyrna is definitely a bigger airport. They've got two runways. Their one runway's, I think, is 8,000. One runway's 11,000 feet. It's right on the cusp of Nashville's controlled airspace.
In fact, they've had some Nashville planes accidentally land, haven't they? By accident.
Yeah, so you know, they're controlled airspace until the tower closes. I think they're Delta airspace, and they go to same airspace as us, Echo, whenever it closes. But Nashville is Class C airspace, and that ring has almost enveloped Murfreesboro now. It's really close to our airport. But I would foresee Murfreesboro in... I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think Murfreesboro is probably a busier airport for general aviation than Smyrna's airport. I mean, we have that much traffic. Part of it's MTSU, and you know they're still saying that by spring of this year that they're going to relocate some planes to Shelbyville, but
so that has not happened or started yet.
No, and we, you know, I mean, in hindsight, it I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't publicly say or haven't said. You know, we went through an entire process with MTSU, and ultimately the things that we had suggested, and I'm not saying there's things that I wish I could have gone back and done a little different. Maybe how I messaged that to MTSU's administration, which in my years is very important, how you message things to them because they hear things differently. You know, like the blunt conversations that you and I have, there are certain people at MTSU you can have those conversations, and there are certain people at MTSU you can't have those conversations. And so I think, you know, they're moving to Shelbyville, spending $65 million. In my opinion, and that's taxpayer dollars. I wish that if now they've changed their operating procedures, they've done some of the things that we've asked to done, and it is 100 times better than it was 3 or 4 years ago. And it was, I don't want to use the terms unsafe, but it had gotten so out of whack that it was, in my opinion, it was just an accident waiting to happen. So, you know, the new group that they brought in, Dr. Van Patten, who is a great man, I mean, good guy. Their new director of their flight school, the aviation, Chandra, I can't remember what his Prelis, I think is his last name. Great guy, came in and really revamped, and they have changed that culture at the airport with their department.
Of course, they have a huge amount of land in Shelbyville compared to what we have.
They don't have, Shelbyville has, you know, look, it's, Shelbyville's like Murfreesboro was 20 years ago, where they don't have much development around their airport. And that's the difference. We do. We whether you agree with it or disagree with it, our airport is surrounded by businesses and homes. And so that's something, the airport is trending in I mean, look, Bart, we got, after we made all these changes, we were awarded the safest airport in Tennessee, and we were awarded the best airport in Tennessee. So contrary to what some people have said in other places, it's hard to argue that the decisions that we made, although they were tough decisions, that they weren't the right decisions.
We have some more questions dealing with the airport. We need to check on the traffic and weather. We'll pause and we'll be back. And we're still going to take some time to look at some of the achievements of the past year. Sort of a retrospective look on that. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning. Stay with us.
Hey, neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here. WTNS, AM, FM, online.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. One of the things that we've done years ago is we've been able to do our orders, like our pastas and many other items, that we used to be able to put them in large pans, and now we have a catering team that will even deliver it to your home. We can drop it off for you, set it up, or they can come in and pick it up. Look up our catering menu on www.demasrestaurants.com. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Here at Animal City, we're not just about the dogs and cats. We also have an expansive small animal department with all of the supplies your guinea pig, rabbit, hedgehog, sugar glider, or more would want. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. When you come to see us, don't forget to stop downstairs. That's where you'll find our small animal department, filled with all of your small pets' desires. Animal City's open 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 1 to 5 on Sunday.
Hi, this is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Give your family and friends something else to feast their eyes upon when they sit at your dinner table. Ryan Flowers would love to create a beautiful centerpiece for your table.
Flowers from Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts makes any occasion more special.
Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County and as well as surrounding counties.
A winter storm watch will go into effect here Friday morning. We'll see cloudy skies this afternoon with a high in the mid-30s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies develop a low near 15. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 26.
Need a new set of tires? Head to Tire World, where you can buy now, pay later. Ask your Tire World experts in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne about their financing options.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Get the Bridgestone-affiliated retailer credit card.
Get the latest headlines, events, and stories all in just minutes a day. Weekdays, the Rutherford Roundup Podcast. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform or WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Happy birthday to Reggie Mormon. Reggie Mormon is our Slick Pig birthday winner today. Gets that delicious banana pudding from the Slick Pig Barbecue. Happy birthday, Reggie Mormon. And our good neighbor of the day today is Tina Busey. The person who nominated Tina said, thank you for your help and direction during a recent visit to the Habitat Restore. Tina Busey, our good neighbor of the day. Tina receives flowers, beautiful flowers, from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Let us know about somebody you feel should be the good neighbor. Just send us their name, address, and phone number. Tell us why they should be the good neighbor of the day. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is our guest this morning. And we're talking about a little bit of everything, but it's all focused on Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And the airport is a topic that we slipped into. We talked a little about the control tower. A person's asking about, with MTSU going to Shelbyville, one of the things that is very much in the need these days is control tower operators. MTSU is known for their school of teaching that. Is that an area, since we're building a control tower, is that an area that we could form some type of an arrangement with MTSU on?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I think it's my understanding that they had done that, but I'm not sure. But yes, I think I would assume MTSU would love to have the opportunity to be able to work in a control tower in their hometown. So, yes, sir.
Very good. So that is a possibility.
Yes.
At the beginning of the program, you mentioned about the project in the downtown area, the sunlighting of the Town Creek, improvements at Cannonsburg, things of that sort. The whole project including the new retail and residential area downtown, that you said is moving forward now.
Yes. Yeah, we're moving along really nice. So, I mean, it's coming along to where they are. The bid has been voted on. We've let the bid. And so I think you're going to see construction start in February.
Wow. That?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a few weeks away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something I think Bart, this has been 15 years. I mean,
it didn't happen yesterday.
No. So, I think it's something that we're all really excited. And I think it's going to transform that area across the street. It's going to be something that, you know, it's going to improve, you know, that the area had, one, it was bad on traffic. We had so many of those curb cuts where it just backed up South Church Street. But I also think it's going to give the ability to transform that area into a park that people will use that, you know, so I think we're all excited about that.
Well, has that brought about any changes in the Methodist Church location? I know you've worked on that too.
Bart, you do this every time. You bring that up and you get my blood pressure up. No, we are, you know, Bart, we voted back in November to start the condemnation process on that property. We know that there's significant needs for downtown parking that we've got to focus on. So, I think that is in process. So, I think.
Have you heard anything from them?
Yes. I mean, we got our appraisal back on that building, and that's been relayed to them. And I think they're working through their process to get their due diligence done, and then we will sit down and try to either find a reasonable way to proceed, or, you know, I really think we need parking down there. That was part of the reason that we sold that property. You're down there all the time. You know how bad parking is. So we're going to follow through with what we have told our residents, that we're going to improve the public parking downtown, and we're going to fix that.
City used to have a parking lot there.
Yes, we had that lot on the corner.
But you can't use it because it's not the city's.
No, we sold it to that group with the anticipation that all of these things were going to occur, and unfortunately they just haven't.
Here's a text from a listener. This person says, is the city looking at finding a new developer, or is the city going to develop it themselves?
That's a very complicated question, depending upon whether the property is condemned or whether there is a peaceful settlement on, when I say peaceful, a mutual settlement on how we do that. So I'm not prepared right now legally to say what could happen next, but I think that will be something we'll figure out.
While we're taking questions from listeners, which takes us from here to there to everywhere, this next one jumps from downtown to Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
They're wanting to know, when can they have... some people are really wild for Buc-ee's.
Hey, we go to Knoxville quite a bit.
And with the kids, you stop there.
Yeah, we stop at Crossville.
Yeah.
Just about, I mean...
And then Sevierville.
Yeah, we don't go to Sevierville. We typically don't go that far, but... The Buc-ee's is in process. I mean, I think that's going to end up being a late 2025, early 2026 project. There's a lot of infrastructure that has to be done with the Butler Drive realignment, with the Joby Jackson interchange there. So there's a lot of work that's the state is doing that is going through. So I think we're getting close on that.
Is that going to, you talk about the realignment, is that going to make way for more land to develop? Are we going to see more projects coming to that area?
I don't think so. I mean, you never say never, but that Elam Road, where that is going, you know, that's going to be improved to where Bucky's is, but the rest of that land is, you know, like where the Dempsey Farm and all that is out there, that's a county. Or county area, and I don't see that Elam Road. Bart, I'm sitting here frantically typing, and I'm a jackleg. The fireside chat that I was going to do tonight, I put as 8 a.m. instead of 8 p.m.
Close.
Yeah, so I mean,
24 hours off.
Yeah, well, 12 hours off, okay. To be fair. So I'm having to fix that. But so the fireside chat is at 8 p.m. tonight, not 8 a.m., so I should have...
He would be doing it right now. If it
yeah,
was
and I mean, so we really are sort of doing a
the preview.
Yeah, we are doing some kind of event, but anyway. So yeah, I don't think you're going to see things pop up around that Bucky more than what you are seeing right now.
So are there any plans of having more exits off of Interstate 24 or 840?
Yeah, I mean we
coming into Murfreesboro.
Yeah, we have been having that discussion with. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting next week with the commissioner of TDOT, Darren, myself, and Jim Kerr. We have a breakfast because, you know, the issue with. You know, the issue with what's going on right now with this choice lane discussion is that we don't know that, you know, that's probably a 5-year deal. And we really don't know what's going to happen with that. And because we don't know what's going to happen with that, that could directly impact some of the interchanges that, you know, like we're right now where 840 is located, you know, the 840 interchange is located. We're showing the Cherry Lane. That's another Cherry Lane, not the one on 840, but the one that's on 24. We're showing an interchange to go there. Well, that may be on hold, not knowing what.
We're on 24 is Cherry Lane.
In between Almaville Road and 840. So that's in that Florence area. There's an interchange that is proposed to go there. So. You know, those are some of the things that, you know, we really are trying to work through, because that, you know, what we've been told by TDOT is like, hey, all of those interchanges are on hold. I mean, Smyrna's got a couple of interchanges on I-24, at least one that Almaville Road, a new interchange that they want to work through. So there's a lot of things that are up in the air that we just don't know yet that we've got to get situated with TDOT in regards to these choice lane deals.
Another question. This one's dealing with the city bus, and the new buses are here and been here for a while. What about the new terminal? How's that going?
That's coming along. I mean, if you drive down on Bridge Avenue and Bridge Avenue and Highway 99, you can see where that is under construction. That's another partnership with state and federal government. That is predominantly funded by federal and state money, but that's going to give a new hub for, you know, like BART, like the WeGo buses that come in from Nashville. I mean, right now they're driving downtown. They're driving Old Fort Parkway. I mean, so this gives us the ability to have one location where those things go to. So this is going to be huge for our community.
So WeGo won't be driving all around town?
No. I mean, that's
which
not,
has got to be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge right now. You know, when you've got we constantly deal with, for example, Greyhound doesn't have a bus stop, and they drop off at Old Fort Parkway in that parking lot that we're now getting ready to have under construction. So So those are the things that, you know, we're still trying to work through, Bart.
Here's a question about the construction they're seeing in Old Fort Park on the roadway there.
Yeah. That is part of the 99. That Old Fort Park, that is part of the 99 extension.
The 99 extension into the park?
Well, so you're noticing, like, right across where the Thorntons is off of Old Fort Parkway, that whole intersection going into the park has been improved. So where it was three lanes, it's now larger, and that actually goes a little further into the park. So that was part of the city doing our part while that 99 interchange was being, because you didn't want to have a three lane, you know, basically a right turn, a center, and a left turn with this new road that's being constructed. So that is almost completed.
So is 99 close to being finished? Because that's really here's another question about that. They're concerned with it.
Yeah. So we had gotten word, and I think it was through social media, that 99 was
dangerous.
99 was going to be open this week. Clearly it's not going to be open this week because the weather's so bad that, you know, anything that is pavement related, striping related, you just can't do. So I think it's going to be sooner than later. I would suspect maybe in the next month, I think 99 will be open. But I'm not a betting man, but I'm not betting anything on that until people are driving on it.
Okay. A lot of cheering out there, a lot of happy people because of that.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
We're talking this morning with Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
I am Charlotte Gardner.
Why do you love Adam's Place?
Gee, there are so many things, but I guess the choices. You can be as lazy as you want to be. You can be as active as you want to be. The residents are friendly. The staff is wonderful. You don't need to be concerned at all. It's up to you.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adam's Place. Call me for more information about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adam's Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
It's where bold talk meets big laughs. The Rick Berger Show, weekdays from 11 to 2.
The Rick Berger Show, weekdays 11 to 2 on News Radio WGNS.
We are back. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is with us this morning. And we're going to take off our questions from the public and move into our segment where we look at what happened last year.
Yeah.
2024, a review of 2024 for Murfreesboro. What are you most proud of?
Bart, it's hard to say that there's, you know, one thing that you're most proud of. I think overall, you know, we July 2nd, Darren Gore started as our city manager. Craig Tindall did a great job. There are things that, you know, Craig, just like any of us as leaders, there's things that we excel at, there's things that we have strengths, and there's things that we're not as strong. And I think Darren has brought a different perspective. Darren's been with the city for almost 20 years, and so it's always good to be able to you know, have a fresh perspective. I mean, at some point, I'm not going to be the mayor. You know, as long as I'm on my third term, as long as I'm enjoying it, you know, breaking news, I'm going to plan on doing it again. But I think Darren brings sort of a fresh perspective, and, you know, Craig came in and was much more organizational and definitely analytical on getting things streamlined. You know, with Craig, we went from roughly 24, 25 department heads to where we started the executive team program, where now, instead of, you know, the city manager having 25 direct reports to them, now they really have five or six, and it's really empowered that team below the city manager to be able to manage and manage more effectively the team that they have. So there's all kinds of things. I mean, Bart, I'm thankful that you look at our election that happened back in August. Every one of our sitting council members were reelected, and you know, we had Sean Wright, Bill Shacklett, Kurt Wade were all reelected, and of course we have, you know, Madeline Scales Harris, Jamie Averwater, and Austin Maxwell, and we have a good team, and we get along. We don't always agree, but we you know, what you see in Washington and maybe what you see sometimes at the state level, you don't see in Murfreesboro. We're not calling each other names. We're not, you know, trying to get style points and sort of clickbait type deals. So, I mean, I'm proud that we try to set the example. And this is the part, too, that I have one person who emails me all the time different things. And, you know, Bart, you've sat up here with me for 20 years now, and one of the things I'm criticized for a lot of things. I think one of the things I don't think, I'm just not raised this way or wasn't raised this way, is not listening to people. You know, if somebody shows me why that there's a better idea, I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or what you are, then good ideas are good ideas. So I think we've tried to do the right thing to be able to listen and do what's right for our community. And I think that's what the council strives to do every Thursday night, 7 days a week. We try to do what's right for our community. And really the other thing, Bart, if you say what I'm most proud of, the thing that our community demands the most, take transportation and building roads aside. And clearly we have our challenges with schools. Our community wants to be safe. They want to be protected. And I think that's one of the things when you look back, this council and me as mayor, we have made a commitment to making sure that our emergency service providers are taken care of. And we're going to have a discussion about retirees here before too long to figure out a better way to be able to take care of them as well.
And this would also go back and include those who've already retired, or how does that work?
Well, we've had a lot of discussions about cost of living increases for retirees. And look, when you retire and I retire, we don't have pensions that are giving us cost of living increases, you know. And that was never promised within the city of Murfreesboro. But I think we need to be creative and find, you know, if we had a police officer or firefighter, or for that matter, planning people that work with the city for 30 years, then we need to try to creatively find ways to supplement some of that. But at the same time, it's very important for us to understand that any decision that we make, we're doing that with your taxpayer dollars. And that was one of the things that, you know, in these discussions I've had with some of our retiree people, is like, look, I can't tell a single mom or a retired person living on a fixed income that I'm going to raise their taxes because we need to provide money for someone else. I don't think our community would be okay with that. Now, if we're able to do that without having to raise taxes on people, because, I mean, for example, my mother and father-in-law both work for the same company for a long time, have pensions, but they don't get cost of living adjustments. And look, I can't help what the state does. I mean, the state lives in a different world financially than they're talking billions of dollars and we're talking millions of dollars. So I can't control, and we can't control what the state does, because they're doing that with our taxpayer money that we give them. But we've got to find a better way that you know, we'll handle those things. And that was what I promised the retirees. I mean, we're going to honor the commitment that we made them with making sure that their pension is solvent and that money's there to pay them, and find a better way to be able to supplement that person who retired 15, 20 years ago, making a lot less than what people are making now, that we can fix that. So, Bart, always great to be here.
And we want to thank you so much for joining us. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, visiting this morning, giving us an update on what happened last year and also looking at some of the big things that are right in front of us for this year. Stay with us. Much more to come. Thank you, Shane. Take care of yourself. And get ready for Friday, too. We'll be keeping you informed on how everybody's getting ready for Friday. Stay with us.